Hello, everyone. Welcome to a brand new episode of the Long Coat Mafia Podcast. It is I, the Reverend Godfather, and sitting across from me is the one, the only, the one who probably will never challenge Mayweather to a fight.
Oh, I would.
Big Candy.
On that payday? I'd stand there and get punched in the face. What's up?
So, how's things been going? It's been at least a few weeks.
It's been good. Keeping busy. Did a couple of shows with the Horror Geek stuff. Fairly successful. Trying to do an Indiegogo campaign right now. Trying to raise some funds.
Yeah, I saw you at the... saw the photo of you at the Alamo Draft House in Winchester.
Yeah, we did two nights there during their Psychorama 2 thing. They had a lot of good movies. They played a lot of stuff, including Brain Damage, which I thought was hilarious that they put that in the theater. So we were there in the lobby for two nights for about 4 hours a night, and made a lot of good connections, met a lot of good people. A lot of people stopped by that were familiar with what I'd done before. And I think that kind of gave us like the incentive that we want to expand the business a little bit, because there's a lot of things we want to do with it, and a lot more artists and things we want to collaborate with in the future, like as far as like products that we want to put out ourselves, opposed to like buying or wholesaling things.
A mix.
Yeah, having a real good mix of stuff that like really shows off like talent of people that I know or people that I'm friends with and stuff like that, and like local artists that do a lot of horror stuff. So we want to eventually get into that stuff.
I've been for those who are friends with me on my personal Facebook page know that I've been battling the evil vampiric bugs. As to kind of quote Casper Van Dien, the only good bug is a dead bug.
You maggots want to live forever.
I think I got the handle on the problem before it got way too out of hand. So
good.
Instead of seeing a shit ton of little fuckers, every 10-15 minutes, I'm seeing maybe three every 4 hours or something like that.
That's good. Yeah.
So it's a matter of maintaining them.
I don't know what. It's like we had mosquitoes in our house, like infected in like our house, and we didn't know where they were coming from. But what it was like sitting water underneath our porch that they were coming out of, and I actually had to go down there and clean all that out. And then like I had to literally get in and steam our couch with like a handheld steamer, and like pretty much like clean it out to get rid of like any bugs or mosquitoes that had, because they were biting us all. We're like, what the hell is going on? We couldn't figure out where they were coming from. We were getting bitten in the house. And then I figured it out.
And I just had a buddy of mine, one of my buddies said, hey, you got it, because most of what I had was the bed bug variety.
Right.
And for those of you who don't have at home, or wherever you're listening to this, don't have a washer dryer at the house, you got to go to the laundromat.
Oh yeah,
and that sometimes is where you pick up this shit.
Yep.
And what was happening is, Big Candy could see my arms are looking way better than they were.
Yeah.
That's because of the treatments, the spray I've been using. And my buddy said, "Oh, you got to use this powder. It has some sort of fine earth. It's like a something with a D, diamatic earth or something like that. It's like a very fine ash,
diatomaceous earth.
Right.
Yeah.
And between that and the spray I've been using has been, I caught everything in time, and I missed a spot. I didn't realize there was another spot where they were all gathered up at, and I was wondering why are my legs, my arms are getting better, but my calves are being eaten up and chewed up and, boot off stage, to quote Eminem. I'm like, what the fuck? And I look down and it's like, I see a whole mess. I'm like, oh, so that's where you little fuckers are hiding. Mm. So I grab the powder, I put the powder down, grab the spray, load it up, so it's, things are just, when you live in a very drafty house.
That's how it is.
It's just, it's just very...
Yep. Like, our problem is our floor, it goes like rug, floor, dirt.
No, that's my house. It's like, not so much rug, it's like floor, dirt.
We don't have a basement.
Yeah, right, so. And as you know, once it rains, you get that, I smell musty.
Yeah,
it's
weird in the house.
So that's why I tend to use incense every now and again.
Yep.
Get that, you know, keep the smell at bay.
And keep down the sound of the ganja, right?
I don't do that. We also had the eclipse this past week, two weeks ago. So,
did you go watch it?
Yeah, I.
You got your glasses?
Got the glasses.
Did you see the pictures I was taking?
Yeah, I think so.
With the demon in the sky. Oh my God, it scared me.
And the thing was, I got the.
I don't even know how. I was trying to figure out how that happened. Because it was such a weird picture. Like, I was trying to take a picture through the glasses with my iPhone, right?
I was trying to do the same thing with mine and my iPod Touch.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't coming out right.
Right. It would either come out to where you couldn't see the eclipse part and you could only see the sun, or you got the weird effect where it was like you could see the reflection from the silver.
Yeah.
Well, that's what happened with this photo. It reflected the silver, but it also picked up the eclipse kind of in the reflection off, I guess, off the lens. But it picked up the clouds, too. And the clouds, like, people would have to see it, but it formed, like, a face with, like, the eclipse being one of the eyes.
And the thing is, what the fucked up part about it is that our library, as fucked up as they are, and they kind of still are, is that they apparently had a little booth up handing out glasses at the booth. They ran out.
Oh, free ones?
The free ones.
Wow.
And they said, all right, we only have about 50 in reserve, and we have another maybe 20, 25 that you could share. Right. They're the libraries. That way you could share.
Right.
And so there was a line. I was probably number 20, 25. But you had people. There was a legitimate line. And people were just coming up from the back. Oh, can I get a pair of glasses? Okay, here. There's a fucking line, motherfucker.
Oh, you know how it is.
And I had an African-American family behind me going, you know, literally saying the N-word, going, there's a line. And I was there, like, laughing my ass off. But since it falls on, like, today, this recording falls on a Monday, I went to where I volunteer at, and I was pretty much the only motherfucker with a pair of glasses
right.
watching the eclipse. And for those who don't know, when you drop me off, I'll show you where to drop me off. I'll go volunteer. You'll meet her.
Oh, okay.
She's literally that thin, the thin of that mic stand.
Oh, Lord.
She's like that thin, but she wasn't geeking out over the fact that I had glasses so she could watch the eclipse. She was dorking out. She hit a whole new level. She was legitimately dorking out.
It certainly was a weird day. I mean, I remember when it first started, Crystal, my wife, she was about to head to work, and it looked like I had blue blockers on. I was looking outside there. Everything was very polarized. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the clouds are like, you could really see the clouds, and like the sky was just, it was like looked like it was about to rain. And then like, you know, it kind of got even darker and darker. It never got pitch black around here.
Right.
Because we weren't.
But still, it was kind of cool, you know?
Yeah, we weren't in a 70-mile path, but it got weird looking.
I think 2024 is the next path across the United States.
Yeah, it comes
like south.
South, yeah.
To north.
Right. Yeah.
And we might be within that range.
Yeah.
We might be a little bit closer to not complete darkness, but we'll get roughly the same amount.
Yeah.
Which that's why I'm going to be holding on to my glasses for the next 10 years. 7-10 years. But, you know, hey, it's free. I'm a hoarder. Fuck it.
The coolest thing was, one of the coolest things that I saw was, did you see the Ozzy concert?
No.
At Moonstock, they did something called Moonstock. No shit. So when the eclipse happened, they started playing "Bark at the Moon,"
yeah.
Right? And during the song, it went from day to night, and then right on the money, it was the eclipse. Yeah, during the song, and a guy was recording the whole thing on his phone, and he was pointing at it. You could see like the eclipse happening as they were singing "Bark at the Moon."
Did you see that aspect of? The guy that said, like, I want to. He did the math to where the International Space Station was going to go over.
Oh, yeah?
And he did the math in reference to whether the eclipse was going to be full eclipse and where the International Space Station was going to go over.
Right.
And it turned out it was going to be right on this, like, rancher's, you know, place.
Yeah.
He got permission to set up. He rigged the guy's glasses with the film and stuff.
Yeah.
So it's like, hey, if you want to part. Well, we'll just set up. We'll, as soon as it's over, we'll break everything down. We'll clean up and so forth.
Yeah.
If you want to come with us, watch with us, that's fine. They set up, and you can watch as it's going, starting to go over the happen, and all of a sudden you see this little bloop go over, and it's the International Space
Station. Yeah,
and they were so stoked because their calculations were right, and it was like they were nerding out. Like, hey, we did it. Like, there it is. 3, 2, 1. What? I saw them, camera.
Yep. It's really fast when it goes by.
Yeah, and they were trying to photograph the eclipse as well on one of the cameras. He was so stoked that he was being part of the eclipse, and they got the space station to go through. He forgot to take the lens caps off one of his cameras.
Oh, no. That happened.
But he got to be there with his family. Hey, and, you know, it's like, you know. But to kind of move on. It turns out YouTube is going from not just doubling down, but doubling down on doubling down. It turns out, from what I've been hearing, YouTube is removing channels from mentioning Patreon.
Yeah.
And just because they, for those who don't know or haven't been listening fully, over the past 6-8 months, there's been an adpocalypse, as some have been calling it, because of the mainstream media getting pissed at places like YouTube is taking over as like a secondary media source. And because of this, YouTube, instead of, you know, fighting back, is cowering in the corner like a little fucking dog with its tail between its legs. There has been, you know, even we've been affected in a way because of the hosting site that we use, which is Podbean. I'm not knocking Podbean. Podbean's been great to us, especially with the recent show of the week and so forth and so on.
Yeah,
we had an episode recently called Protesting to a Hotel of a Business. Mm. I think that was the title.
Yeah.
Which one of our co-hosts, or temporary co-hosts, was on talking about the protest that we had recently in reference to couple businesses in our area and the one of the hotels that's been doing shady shit. What Podbean does is that you could choose an option to automatically upload the shows to YouTube.
Yeah.
And listen to on YouTube. The thing was, that episode did not go on YouTube. That button for me is automatically clicked and turned on every time I upload an episode.
Yeah.
It chose not to upload. It didn't want it because it had protests.
Protests that you can't put protest.
That's the thing.
Yep.
And.
Yep.
But this is the same site that kind of promotes, hey, you have freedom of speech on our channel. You could pretty much say what you want. Not that.
Right now they're in the process of defunding a lot of journalists and stuff, independent journalists. And it's people that, you know, they depend on this money for their living. And
the thing is, they're defunding people like Loudworth Crowder, Phil Franco, and a whole mess of other these. But
John Paul Watson or whatever his name is. Whatever his name is.
Yeah,
the guy that works with InfoWars, he's done. He left. Because they defunded all his stuff and like pretty much blocked all his videos because of what he talks about. He left. He said, I'm done. Till this ends, or till we figure out something else, I'm done. He's gone. Most of Rebel Media is gone. So, like...
But YouTube is, like, from what I've been hearing, and this is kind of hearsay, YouTube is giving masses amount of money to, like, the Young Turks.
Of course, because they got a liberal agenda. So, I mean, that besides the point, you know, it's the leftist thing. It sucks, but that's what Hollywood, that's what media is right now. Media is... Leftist media is liberal media is, you know, it's not in favor of people that want to question anything.
But
so it kind of sucks.
Kind of on less sucky note, there was a YouTube that goes by the name of H3. I'm not saying I'm a fan. I haven't watched a bunch of their stuff, but I know who they are. What happened was about a year and a half or so ago, they did a reaction in reference to someone sitting there and watching the video and just maybe laughing or kind of just reacting emotionally.
Yeah.
They would do a kind of running commentary on the video using clips of the original video. And what happened was the person who owned the original video, for whatever dickish reason, didn't like it and decided to blackmail them. If you watched, kept up with the initial what happened, it sounded like they were being blackmailed that, hey, you either give us money for this or we'll sue you. And
Was it something?
Yeah, it was kind of a reaction type deal.
I can't remember the name. And they do all the kids react and stuff.
There wasn't really kids react or something like that. They were doing like this person was doing like, well, they were critiquing what this person was doing as well.
Right.
And the original person didn't like it. And this was also a kind of a trend on YouTube that you'd have a YouTuber reviewing something, and showing clips as proof of why something was not right, or certain games were had problems, and they show the glitches or what was wrong in the game, or the movie or what have you, and you'd have all these people, the original owner saying, "Oh, I don't like that review. I don't like this. I don't like how he said this or she said this. Mm-hmm. I'm putting a copyright strike on it, and I want it taken down."
Yeah.
And you have a lot of other YouTubers saying, "Oh, I just don't like this person commenting about my videos on my channel, so I'm going to keep copyright striking, until their YouTube channel gets shut down." But what happened was this person decided copyright strike, lawsuit, take them to court. Right. And what happened was Philip DeFranco came up and said, "What's going on with H3H3 is..." In essence, he didn't say bullshit, but that's what he implied. And he started a GoFundMe type campaign to get funds for H3H3 for their lawyers and so forth and so on, which turned out to be a total of over $1.5 million.
Yeah,
wow. And they went to court. The court, I think within the past week, made a final judgment.
Mm-hmm.
In favor of H3H3,
of course,
saying that what the video was, if you look, I recommend everybody going to H3H3's channel and to find out the details, but I'm just summarizing up what happened in the court. Pretty much what the judge stated was that everything that the plaintiff was saying was, in essence, bullshit.
Right.
They didn't have a case. What H3H3 does in style of their videos and their critiques and their reaction in reference to their style of reviewing,
right,
reacting to, oh, he slipped, he fell, he meaning that, let's say you were reviewing Green Day.
Right.
You know how to play the guitar.
Right.
And you're just reviewing how their lead guitarist is doing the song. And you're commenting as the music plays or right after a little bit of a clip.
Right.
That style is legit,
right,
falls under fair use.
Fair use, absolutely.
And the judge, to clarify, says someone just sitting there with the video playing and just either smiling, laughing, and not just showing emotion, not really saying anything, does not really fall under fair use. It has to be some sort of clip commentary or commentary over the clip.
Yeah.
That is fair use. So in essence, this case set precedent.
In other words,
precedent.
They're not just rebroadcasting someone else's
and
content.
With your photo on it. Or your video streaming along with it. You have to give some sort of commentary
with
it.
Just like with, it falls under like plagiarism and copyright with known works of art or other people's media, it is fair use if they put it out there. But if you change it as a parody, so say like somebody puts a picture of like Mickey Mouse out, but I put like Popeye's head on him or something, or like put a skull face on him or make him look like a pirate or something,
kind of like what a Dead Mouse kind of does.
Yeah, so like I'm doing that. That's considered fair use because you're changing the character enough that you're not infringing on the original copyright.
And so, like I said, this sets precedent, so everybody who kind of does a top 10 list of certain videos, anime, horror flicks, that way New Line Cinema can't really come in and say, hey, we're copyright striking this.
Because what would be next is they'd say, well, you didn't put enough of our videos in your top 10, so you can't have this list.
But that someone could say top 10 New Line Cinema.
Yeah.
Right.
But no, because people are... unless they actually start involving real lawyers and real rules on these sites that are clearly defined, they're going to continue to go down this road that I don't like, where anybody, like you, me, anybody can copyright strike stuff and it'll stick for no good reason. That's until it goes to court. They need to really make sure that it's being enforced legally.
And the thing is, that's what a lot of YouTubers are kind of trying to tell their fans, mm-hmm. because what they say is like, hey, I'm just critiquing what, you know, so-and-so says or something like that.
Yeah.
And don't go, because a lot of YouTubers like Armored Skeptic, Mundane Matt, Arcada Saqid, you know, yeah. all these people were like, what they were afraid of is fans of who they're critiquing coming right. to their channel and just mass flagging everything.
Yeah. Because they don't like them.
And for the, yeah.
But they're doing
that. And that's what yeah. they're yeah. also trying to tell their fans. Don't go to this site, you know, this channel, and mass flag them. But they have fans that just do it anyway.
Right.
I'll be
the hero.
Yeah, I'll be the hero.
Yeah.
But recently, what also came out as well is that Arcada Saqid had an issue with a
Sargon of Akkad.
Yeah,
Arcada.
It's been a long week. I have not been sleeping well.
Sargon had a problem.
He had a video back in November.
He did.
He trimmed down to like a minute and a half,
right? And then just showed no commentary over, but he reacted afterwards, I believe. Which I think
he said he trimmed like a 10-15 minute video down to a minute and a half, 2 minutes.
Something like that.
And
I haven't seen it. So
he put it up and they pretty much said it was plagiarism mm-hmm. and copyright infringement.
Well,
I don't see how it was. I'm not a lawyer. I don't play one on TV.
And that's what I'm trying to say. They really need to, before all this stuff goes crazy, they need to involve like real lawyers and real law and make sure that they're going through the steps. See, this is the problem with YouTube and the internet kind of as a whole, is that we've been too used to the wild, wild west that is the internet because it's all so new still. I mean, yes, we've been doing this for like, 15, 20 years?
Yeah.
But it's still the wild, wild west. They're still trying to figure stuff out. They're still trying, like, there's a lot of stuff that you and I and a lot of people do online that technically, if we did in the real world, there's laws against that. You have to pay
right.
taxes. You have to have lawyers. You have to figure out how you're accountable. You know, a lot of stuff. You know, like, we basically have, you might as well call this a radio show.
Yeah.
But we're not confined by the constraints of the FCC. I can say fuck shit, turd, whatever I want to all day on here, and the FCC is not going to crack down on us for content.
Which is kind of a little bit of the beauty of it.
It is. Yeah. No, it is. And that's what I'm saying. It's the Wild Wild West. There's nobody regulating what we're doing. Facebook, there's nobody regulating what people are doing. Other than Facebook itself. YouTube, other than YouTube itself. Nobody's regulating what's happening. So anybody can copyright strike or ban or flag or, you know, we're kind of policing ourselves. Either we need to, like, lay off and then just let things be. Like, if somebody wants to say something, let them say it. Just rebut. Or they need to let it go into the hands of, like, actual lawyers or, you know, really enforce the laws that you would enforce in real life. Yeah. One way or the other, it has to happen because it can't keep going like it's going.
And kind of similar on this topic is that, before we move on to the next, is that we did get a little bit of, not so much on our YouTube
mm-hmm.
page, because I do pride on, you know, when we get messages in to kind of let you guys, what people are saying about us. We had one person leave a comment on our Podbean page for one of our creepypastas. Just said, well, you're not reading it right. It's just like, well, I'm not, you know, someone who's hired by audible.com, you know, which was my reply. He's like, I don't know if it was a creepypasta or you're reading it. Maybe you should read things beforehand before you actually, you know, like, wait a minute, you don't realize.
No, that's when you invite that person, say, okay, next time I want you to read it for us.
And that's when they go, well, give me money.
No.
No. It's like...
then you enjoy what I do.
It's like... And
or
I,
don't complain.
I told him, it's like, well, what I do... I'm not a professional reader, you know? And it's like, I'm not Earl, you know?
Yeah, right? Oh, we should get Earl to read PeePee. That is a genius idea. You just stumbled across. You should do it. You think you would?
I'll have to ask him. It's like, Earl, read this.
Oh, my God. His voice is like two-thirds of Morgan Freeman, like, satisfying.
Yes. Oh, read these creepypastas.
Get Earl to do it. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I can't wait. Get him to do like two or three.
I'll buy you a meal at Blue White.
It's on, man. We got to get Earl.
It's like, I'll get you some takeout, Ting Ting, something. But, you know, it's just, you know, like with... I'm not, I told him, it's like, my reply was, I'm not a professional reader.
Yeah.
My style is in style with those who just read them.
If you don't
it's
like
content,
it.
You know.
If you don't like it.
It's like, oh, who's an Easter? Yet, I'll get, you know, hearts on some of the ones that I've read. Yeah. You know, so I'll just do it for shits and giggles. It's content. It's something content. To play in the background.
Exactly. Nobody's mad at you. It's all
so,
it's all love.
One out of maybe, I think I've done maybe, what, over a dozen creepypastas readings over the past 2 years,
yeah.
And only one person saying, well, I don't like how you read it. And, this is over probably the several hundred who've listened to it. You know,
I'm sorry.
In that case, screw you. just kind of moving to a little bit of Netflix. We'll cover Death Note in a little bit, but there's been some, over the past month, some kind of big Netflix news coming out.
Oh, yeah.
One of which was them being $23 billion in debt.
Wow.
And their response was, you don't understand, we're not $23 billion in debt like the United States is $16 trillion in debt. It's not right there. That's kind of, that number is spread out.
Right, yeah.
And once we're making money as everything comes in,
right.
That number is just a total. It's
right,
not.
Right, yeah,
it's
yeah.
not. We're paying that off. It's going away. We have a lot of hit shit that's out.
Yeah.
And so don't worry about that. You know, it's just an alarming number.
Yeah.
It just sounds worse than it is.
It does.
They did also acquire Miller World, which is artist Mark Miller's stuff,
right.
And for those who don't know, he's done, at least in the comic world, Wanted and Kick-Ass, which have been made into movies.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting. I doubt they'll get Netflix will get Kick-Ass and like Wanted,
yeah.
But they might be able to have like the quote unquote TV rights.
True.
So or and plus be able to do their own.
Yeah.
Movies.
Okay.
It's been a while, not so much, it's been a while since Wanted was in theaters, so they could do, in essence, a reboot or a remake.
Wanted 2. Which was a
and plus they have
if
the
they actually delved into more of the comic book story, like, I think it'd be good.
And plus they have that whole world to work on, too, so that's the thing. Another big thing was Disney is leaving Netflix.
Really?
Disney is leaving Netflix because all the Disney property will be gone by the end of 2018.
Wow.
Because Disney is going to start their own Netflix streaming service, which depending on the price, I might do it, but if they're just limiting, it's like, okay, the thing is with Netflix, it's like, okay, they have the first Pirates, but they don't have everything.
Right.
Up to, you know, past
so,
well, that.
Yeah, if,
like,
Disney
if they
has
have their full Disney catalog
available
along with maybe their shows from Disney Channel,
that'd be worth
it. It'll be worth the whatever price.
Yeah.
But if it's just, you know, the limited content,
yeah.
Then it's not going to, like, what if I want to watch Bedknobs and Broomsticks, you
exactly,
know?
Exactly.
Or Mary Poppins,
yeah.
You know?
Before they put it back in the vault.
I hate that shit. Oh, not to mention they have Star Wars. We're not just talking about like Lion King and
everything.
Mary Poppins. They got the Marvel movie.
They got all the Marvel properties.
They have the Disney stuff, Star Wars. But what Disney said is that their TV stuff, like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and their like ABC stuff, will still be able to go to Netflix.
Oh, okay.
So that's kind of the bulk of it.
That works. What I'd like, the one thing I was going to say, I know we haven't talked about it, but the McGregor Mayweather fight.
What
I heard was there was a lot of trouble this weekend with pay-per-view.
Yeah,
it was getting blacked out. It was getting knocked off. They blew the servers up in California, so a lot of people didn't get the fight. A lot of people didn't get the fight on UFC.com.
Yeah, I saw photos of that.
We'll get back into it, but what I kept thinking was somebody, either Hulu or Netflix or Crack, one of those people that have an established channel where there's an established network, really needs to start picking up a pay-per-view. In other words, it would be your regular streaming service fee of $7.99 or whatever, but then say you wanted to get a sporting event.
Kind
of
like what the WWE does?
Well, the WWE has their own channel.
No, I'm just saying, kind of like what you're making a deal with the UFC.
Yeah. Or, you want to watch a month of UFC content, or you want to there's a big fight coming up, or something like that, that's a pay-per-view event. Because they already have the network in place, they're not going to explode the servers.
Right.
They could go, okay, for this price, whatever you want to charge extra onto your monthly bill.
Kind of like what you're saying Hulu does with Showtime.
Yeah, Amazon does with Showtime.
Hulu does Showtime.
They do? Because
yeah,
we got Showtime through Amazon.
Unless they...
we got Shudder through Amazon, too.
I know...
Well, Shudder's really good, by the way.
Hulu's now doing HBO, so they might have dropped their deal...
Maybe.
...with Showtime, but they're still kind of pushing Showtime stuff.
Yeah.
So...
But
I don't know.
I think
unless they're both. I think Showtime was okay, let's hedge our belt bets and do both Amazon and.
Well, my point is, whoever makes that deal is going to make out like a bandit, because then it's more access to more people.
Yeah.
And mobile devices, and it's access to you got somebody that doesn't have Hulu or doesn't have Netflix, but they want to get stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because Hulu just added the option to do TV with sports.
Right.
And I'm contemplating in my head, I'm like, well, I really want to watch hockey this season. It's all out-of-network games, granted, but I can still watch a lot of games. $40 a month.
Is it worth... you have to see if it's worth the $40 a month.
Yeah. I'm not so much worried about football this year, but I really want to watch hockey this year.
The downside is that it seems like with Hulu... Mm-hmm. A lot of the channels are jumping ship for whatever reason.
Yeah.
They used to have Spike TV on Hulu.
Yeah, not anymore.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
Which sucks.
Well, what I'm thinking is a lot of these channels are probably going to start doing their own content like this. Eventually, it's going to get to the point where it's going to be stupid again. You're going to have 8,000 fucking channels with their own... $7.99 package, you're going to be paying $200 a month for your content.
And people are not going to do it.
Yeah.
It's
nice where right now it's all in one place.
When people just Hulu and Netflix, that's fine.
Yeah.
And,
but you see,
I'm not knocking, I'm not lumping the CW app in this, because they're the ones, when you have apps like the CW,
but
Fox, and NBC.
CW jumped ship from Hulu. That's why I stopped watching The Flash. Because I would have to wait for Flash to come on Netflix a year later. I still haven't watched it. Well, then again, I don't have Netflix anymore. So,
but that's the thing, almost the thing, because they jumped ship with Hulu because they wanted people to see their content only on the CW app, or what they're streaming on that.
Right. See, but that's
here,
dumb.
What a lot of people are saying is, when you have apps and channels like the CW, Fox, and let's say NBC, that they have their own limited content, but it's free.
Right.
Free, which the stupid aspect, like us, we're going free, all I have to do is register, or AMC app. All I have to do is register. You go to the website. Oh, what's your cable provider?
Yeah, exactly. I don't have a cable provider. Yeah.
So fuck you.
So we don't get to watch your free content.
Then you have places like CBS. Oh, what's your cable provider?
Yeah.
I don't have one. Oh, in that case, $8 a month. And then you have a lot of people going, fuck you.
Yeah. Fuck that.
Fuck you. Fuck you. I am, you know,
and
I don't
all
have
your
it
content that like is on for like a season and then you take it off, you know.
Or you're only limiting to your content to 5 episodes.
Yeah.
Yet I could go to my CW app and watch the whole three seasons of, you know,
yep,
Flash to get caught up,
right,
with limited adverts. But when you have somebody like Showtime kind of hedging their bets, they're saying, well, we can get extra money from Amazon and Hulu.
Right.
That's more money. And I'm not blaming them for that.
No.
No, because that's almost good business sense.
Yeah.
Because they're hedging their bets. They can say, well, okay, we have this fight or this show or this movie having more original movie, more eyes on it.
Yeah.
By spreading ourselves out, we get more money.
Yeah.
The app people we go to, like Amazon and Hulu, they're getting more money. Mm-hmm. So it's a win-win-win scenario because everybody wins.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the good thing about it. And one of the mistakes that I initially made,
mm-hmm,
again, being tired, is because when I saw it, I was going to bitch about BloodyDisgusting.com for putting this out because I misread the title. The Mist, I think it was like a Spike show or something like that, Stephen King's The Mist that was on Spike.
I know The Fog, not The Mist.
it's based on the Stephen King novella.
Oh, okay.
About how mist, due to it, there's lots of fan theories behind how The Mist was released and created and the story behind it.
Mm-hmm.
But the show was on, I think, Spike. And Bloody Disgusting put out an article saying, hey, immediately after the last episode aired on the 25th of August this year, 2017, it's going to be on Netflix. And I posted up on our show site saying, great, I'm going to watch this, and we're going to be recording it. Guess what? It's only going to be on Netflix in other countries.
What's up with that?
You're like, what the fuck?
Why wouldn't you just make it available to everyone?
Why are you making... Yeah, that was my thing, like... It's a United States show. Why is it being available only in Europe, Canada, Mexico, but not the fucking United States?
This is where you get in with all that legalese shit. It's like, there's a band I like from, I don't think they're from Germany. And I tried to download a couple of their albums off of iTunes. Sorry, not available in your country. Huh? I can look it up in my country, but I can't buy it? No. Sorry, not available in your country for purchase. Okay.
You have to be a part of iTunes Germany to download that. That's like, there's like...
fucking copyright provisions for some stupid reason.
There is, it's a children's movie. It's kind of decent, it's kind of fun, you know, great for background noise, called Arthur and the Invisibles.
Right.
I think the original stars... David Bowie and Madonna is two of the voices.
Right.
There's like three more sequels after it.
Yeah.
Only available. You can watch them on Netflix, only in Europe.
What the fuck? That's so weird.
I'm like, what? But that was that thing. Also, kind of speaking of Netflix, I got a chance to watch the second half of, because when I initially did the review, I only saw the first 4 episodes.
Right.
And because it was irrelevant at the time, I figured I'd at least give a review of my thoughts on the review of the first 4 episodes. Now that I finished the first season of Defenders, I still hold by my stance. They nerfed fucking Jessica Jones.
Oh, really?
It was like, you had people like... Luke Cage, they hit somebody.
Yeah.
Full force, knocking that person through, into a wall. Iron Man, lighting up, hitting somebody, knocking somebody 20 feet into a wall. Matt Murdock, not really having the power set of his cohorts.
Yeah, but he's
still
blind.
Blind, taking on people and still knocking people back at least 5 to 10 feet.
Right.
Jessica Jones is just tap, tap, tap. Oh, you need a dumpster moved or something heavy moved. Then, okay. I'm like, what the fuck? You're nerfing her in fights, but when you need somebody to move a heavy-ass dumpster or a very heavy refrigerator, it's Jessica Jones. I'll get it. Move. The fuck?
Fucking fucking shit writing. That's all it is.
Shit writing? Shit writing? You're lucky you don't have Netflix and watch Defenders, because let me put it like this. You know how we kid about Life Force and the Doors?
Yeah. Yeah.
Let me put it like this. You had Danny Rand going, I am Fist. I am the Iron Fist every 15 seconds, in essence, in this. I am Danny Rand. I am the Iron Fist.
I haven't seen it.
Literally, that was what he was.
Oh, my God.
There was.
That sucks because Iron Fist was okay. Jessica Jones was awesome. I like got addicted to that show. Luke Cage, it was okay.
But I'm just saying, really, there are people. Him saying.
Daredevil was. Has been great.
Him saying, he said, I am Iron Fist so many times in the Defenders, there has been a drinking game for every time he says, I am Iron Fist.
In other words, like, maybe we should start thinking it's like I am Groot, and he's like saying something else.
That there have been people saying that he's the weakest overall in, you know, his acting, his presence in the Defenders sucks. Is the weakest of all.
And now he's going to be at Baltimore Comic Con.
And they say, but the people behind Iron Fist said they're really working on, you know, making the character better for season two.
I hope.
fingers crossed. To kind of go from there, to take a break from that, for those of everyone listening that are either on the PlayStation Network or Xbox Live, on the Xbox One, I'm saying that because I'm on Xbox One. And Xbox Live on Xbox One, there has been a lot of sex bots, scamming sex bots on both networks. They come on, they have a zero gamer score,
right.
No friends. Like, they haven't touched a game, and they would come on, message you going, hi, how old are you?
Four.
And they're like, I'm 22 years old, and, you know, I'm a college student, you know, do the whole aspect of, like, you're on Skype. I'll come, and after a while saying, would you like to come to my channel? You just need a credit card.
Ugh.
And I tried to have fun with one of them. I had it happen to me twice. I didn't go to their fucking site, but right. I got hit twice with these bots. Second time, I'm like, I'm going to have some fun. I'm 22 years old. I'm out of, you know, such and such. How old are you?
14.
Which means I am in 90, if not every state in the union.
Yeah.
A minor.
A non-consenting
minor.
Yeah.
Really? That's nice. I'm 22 years old. I don't know anybody in the area. Would you like to visit my, you know, my site? It's a cam channel. You do realize I'm 14 years old, right? I'm a minor. What you're doing is illegal. But you'll have so much fun seeing my tits. I type in, bitch, please. How am I a bitch? You know you're a fucking slut. I'm 14. What are you doing is illegal. How am I a slut? Do you want to see my toys that I'm going to be using?
No.
All you need is a credit card. I don't have a credit card on this.
I don't talk to you anymore. What? It's okay that I'm 14.
I'm 14. But it's funny, but there's some, just be warned, they're bots, they're scammers, because you're putting your credit, for those of you out there who are somewhat gullible, and don't want to have a fun just trying to scam a scammer, but don't enter your credit card in these, there are sites out there that a lot of people don't realize, legit porn sites, I'm talking like Hustler, Pornhub, YouPorn, Playboy, those sites are cleaner. They do everything in their power to be clean of viruses and not to scan you. Those networks, like the YouPorn or the RedTube network, they make sure that their sites are clean from every virus.
Yeah.
So you don't, because they want your business.
Yeah.
But sites like thecatholicchurch.com are loaded up with viruses because people just automatically trust these sites, and they're loaded up with viruses.
Oh yeah.
But there are some bad apples in both spectrums, just more so sorted than just community. But
you mean alterboy.com could be loaded with viruses?
What site are you visiting, mister?
You said CatholicChurch.com. The first one is I went AltarBoy.com.
Yeah, this one's not going up on YouTube. For whatever reason.
BehindThePulpit.com.
Behind the pulpit. I thought it was a documentary.
No.
No. Oh, okay. No.
Moving on.
We thought, or at least I thought, that the whole aspect of after the movie came out and how well it was received, that the Wonder Woman bullshit was over.
Nope.
James fucking Terminator fucking Cameron had to open his goddamn mouth.
Why don't you go to the bottom of the sea?
Yep, he did. He said, James Cameron came out saying his dislike of Wonder Woman, saying that, and I'm quoting here, she's an objectified icon and it's male Hollywood doing the same old thing. What? And he also went to say, I'm not saying I don't like the movie, but to me, it's a step backwards. Sarah Connor was not a beauty icon. She was strong. She was troubled. She was a terrible mother. And she earned the respect of the audience through pure grit. And to me, the difference is so obvious. I mean, half the audience is female. Now, a few days after this, Twitter, not so much Twitter, but social media came to critique James Cameron. These were two of my favorites from what I saw.
Right.
One person said,
I was like, please, before the aneurysm shoots blood out of my mouth, please.
One person said, is this the same James Cameron who routinely polled his all-male crew to ensure a lady alien was fuckable, or was that a different dickhead?
Oh!
And the other one that made me laugh was, I don't know if that was the actual truth that happened on set for Avatar, but the other one that made me laugh was, criticism is never effective when it's followed with, but you know who did it better? Me! Back to Pandora, Mr. Cameron.
Oh!
Those were two of the favorites out of the five that they kind of listed. But
self-righteous.
This is the same person that's taking to his sequel to Avatar should have been out already.
Right.
And he keeps pushing him back. I think he's afraid of Star Wars.
Me thinks you're right.
So, but to kind of still continue on with a little bit more.
Speaking of Star Wars, I thought it was interesting seeing what I hadn't seen it until just recently. It's been out for a while. But what Mark Hamill had to say about the storyline and the new movies, and he had basically written it in his head better, and like, I was like, okay.
Before we kind of continue, I think you saw the Dark Tower.
I did.
What were your thoughts on it?
Being not someone who has read the books, I thought that the pace was good as a movie. It was acted well. My only problem is that they didn't establish the characters well. I kind of didn't know who was what, why, and where. But I got the point of the movie. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I thought it was good. I thought it was watchable. I would watch it again. But I know where a lot of people who read the books are having problems with it. Because basically they're saying that it had nothing to do with.
That's what I said.
But
it was
loosely based on an idea of the book,
right?
And I understand that, and I also understand that, like, from what I've heard, is that the director or the producer or somebody said that it wasn't supposed to be the books; it was supposed to be an alternate dimension version.
That was Stephen King.
Okay, yeah, he said it was supposed to be like the books, but like movieized.
Right. That was pretty much Stephen King's view of it.
Yeah.
I know, like I said,
did he have anything to do with it besides?
I don't know. This to me, that was again one of the problems is that it was kind of like how you read World War Z, right?
Yeah.
The movie was vastly different from book.
Yeah, it was like the book was kind of a diary of the events following the World War Z, what happened.
Right.
The movie was Brad Pitt running around getting chased by zombies everywhere he went.
That was my kind of viewpoint in reference to Dark Tower. It's a similar aspect. You can't really fault someone like Stephen King or Max Brooks in reference to it, because it's their job. As soon as it's been opted for a movie, they have to kind of...
Yeah.
Even though Stephen King's explanation of it makes more sense in the realm of the Dark Tower books, but it's very loosely, and again, as I stated,
coming from somebody who's never read the books, like, at all, like, I thought it was good.
I
thought Idris Elba was really good in it. I would have liked to see more background on his character, though, because I didn't understand, why is he the gunslinger? What does that have to do with anything?
As I said in my initial review, if Ron Howard had his initial way, it would have been more closer to the books than what you saw.
Right.
It was a good option to bring Ron Howard in on it
now,
because he knows how to tell a decent
story. Here's a question. Would it be a better miniseries or a TV movie or a TV series than an actual theatrical feature?
What Howard's initial plan was, 3 movies, then TV series.
Oh, okay.
And from what I heard, that's what was the plan. He wanted Lord of the Rings money, meaning like $300 million to do full all 3 movies, get it out of the way, and start on, you know, the TV series. And the studios didn't want that. They wanted, let's say, $20 million. Yeah, I'm drastically under-budgeting everything. they wanted, no, you can't have $300 million. You want to do all 3 movies, you're only getting $100 million to do all 3.
Right.
And Ron was pretty much said, you know what? You want to do the movies? Fine, I'm out.
Yeah.
I can't do it for like that. That's not how my vision for these movies are.
Right.
And how I want, you know, everything written. And he backed out, and it went through movie hell since then. And when it finally came back on, someone at least had the bright idea to go up to Ron, here's a shit ton of money, please try to fix this as best you can. And that's why I'm not knocking Ron Howard a part of this, because he's done, he knows how to take a shit show and try to make something decent out of it. And that's why there were a lot of Easter eggs for those who love Stephen King, those who, you know, at least movie-wise, love Stephen King.
You said in your review the boy was too old. How old was he supposed to be?
Like 10.
He was like, well, he wasn't that old in this. He was like 14.
Like 14, 15 years old.
I just, the reason why I wonder is, like, I don't think he would have reacted the same way being younger. I think the older kid had better reactions.
They made him a little bit older.
Yeah.
But his status was way different. They didn't really go into his family status.
Right.
In the book, he was younger but had more angst.
Right.
Meaning, in the book, his father was like an NBC executive, like a TV executive.
Okay.
Always, you know, again, these books took place in the early 80s, so you're talking someone who was a cokehead, highly stressed, didn't want really nothing to do. Same thing with his mom, didn't really want anything to do with Jake. They had a son, they liked the son, but they were kind of distant from him, so he had more angst and, you know, more issues. But the only person he had a real connection with home-wise was the maid or his caretaker. Right. It wasn't a nanny. It was more, the person was more of a maid than anything else, and that, you know, it was that sort of thing. They didn't,
unless he had a window with this.
So it was more, they kind of, I guess Ron Howard balanced things out.
Made him older.
Made him older and a little bit more angsty in reference to his background.
Yeah.
A lot of the stuff, what you see in the movie takes place. They took a little bit of book one, book two. Right. Not so much book two.
But in the novels, in the book version, do they explain the characters better?
Yeah. They go into...
Why gunslingers? Who are the people with the faces? With the
they go into that in like 5.
Okay.
You don't see those or mention anything of those type of people
yeah.
until like book five.
Right. Why was the dark guy? Why was he evil? Why?
They can, you know, basically.
There's a lot of there's a whole lot of like stuff going on that they just didn't care to explain.
That little section that they're into.
Right.
You don't see that section book wise until book six.
Okay.
And even though Walter, the man in black, knows about what's in essence going on,
yeah.
he's never there.
Right.
He's never at that location. He might know about it.
Right.
But he doesn't.
He doesn't visit.
He doesn't visit.
Right.
His aspect is that he's one, an asshole.
Yeah.
Two, he's a traitor. Two, he was in essence the court magician.
Right.
Of where Rowan, in essence, grew up as.
Okay.
And because Walter was a traitor, his initial thought was, I want to get the king's son sent exiled. That way, when I take down this kingdom, in essence, the Roland's father's kingdom down, I don't have to worry about his son.
Right.
So I'm going to force Roland into the trials of manhood.
Mm-hmm.
And when Roland loses, and not to mention Walter was fucking the king's wife.
Oh, wow.
And what happens is, because Roland, since a young age, was learning kind of the military to become a gunslinger, just like his father.
Right.
He went through the trials of manhood at like 13 instead of 16, yeah. 17 years old. And he won. He right. became, in essence, was considered a man.
Right.
And in the book, he says that as soon as that happened, the first thing he did was, you know, hey, I'm a man now. He hired, in essence, hired a prostitute and fell asleep after, you know, his in essence, his first time.
Right.
And he said he woke up to his father calling him, you know, a cunt bastard, you know, ripping, not proud of him
yeah.
for, you know, achieving. Being the youngest to achieve, but doing it so young.
Right, yeah.
And, you know, being so cocky. And he said, as he tells what happened in reference to his father, he says, when he tried to defend himself, but in essence saying, but Walter's fucking mom.
Oh.
And when he told his dad that, his father turned to him and responded with only one sentence of a few words, and that was, I knew for 6 years.
Oof.
Wow. So that you know, you have that aspect.
I might actually have to read these books.
If you have, I have them on digital.
Okay.
So depending on,
that'd be much better.
So depending on your level of, you know, I think I could find like an iPhone version of.
Oh, okay.
Or if you download the Kindle app, I could send you the mobile files. I'll contact Uncle Joe and just remind me. At some
see if they can fall off the back of the truck.
Right. Digital truck. But, but you know, just that it was that aspect.
Yeah.
You know,
it left me wondering. I mean, like I said, I liked the movie a lot. I liked it a whole lot. But it just left me wondering a lot of stuff. Holes for me. I was like, huh?
It's not just, you know, you have that seven book main arc.
Yeah.
But the way Stephen King has written the tales,
yeah.
You don't have to read everything else. You right. can just read the seven books
right.
and know what's going on. That's the main beauty of the seven books.
Right.
But he's managed to weave that universe in his other storylines.
Yeah, and, so yeah, that's that aspect. I saw you mentioned that. Like, so, like, his universe like is all connected.
Yeah, in a way.
In a way with that. Okay.
Right. Cool. But you don't have to really, you know, concentrate, you know, oh, I got to read this book to find out, like what Marvel or DC would do. You got to,
right.
could just read those, and that's all you have to read. Yes, there's branches off,
right?
But you don't have to. Yet some people will say that, oh, there's eight books due to The Wind Through the Keyhole. You don't have to read that one. That's just like him doing a story within a story within a story.
Oh, okay.
So it takes place between two sets, and you could just, in essence, remove that book and set it aside. Don't worry about it. You just have to read the main seven,
right.
Which is The Gunslinger, The Drawing of the Three, The Wastelands, Key and Rose. The book four is very slow because that also takes place a little. It takes place between 3 and 5, but it kind of interweaves and goes a little bit more into the Roland's past as to what happens after his trial,
right,
and kind of before. 5 is Wolves of the Kala. And 6 is Song of Sylvana, and 7 is actually the Dark Tower.
Right.
And with the movie in your mind,
right,
as you're reading, you'll see each.
Okay.
They go into one thing that I didn't bring up in the review is that Roland watches the advert with the talking raccoons.
Yeah.
In the book, there is this breed of animal called a Billy Bumbler. Again, it's a science fiction university,
right, right,
and it's kind of a dog, raccoon, badger hybrid that's able to mimic some words,
right,
like single syllable words. Like if Jake said "good boy," the bumbler would say "oi," or "ache."
Yeah,
can't really mimic. So that's why you have to be a fan of the books to pick up on, oh, that's an Easter egg,
right? Because he said something about that.
Did they forget
how to talk or something?
Yeah. But when Jake says, oh, it hands over the can of Coke and says, Roland's like, what is this? Oh, it's sugar.
Yeah.
That little bit takes place in book 2 with, it's kind of in depth in how what happens is that he take in essence crosses over in a way,
yeah,
and he's offered a cup of soda.
Right.
And Roland's being Roland doesn't know what it is, and he's like, I don't know, it looks like coffee, I don't know what it is. And he takes a sip and he's like, sugar.
Yeah.
I know what sugar is. This is sugar.
Yeah.
And but where he's at, he's like, he's dealing with someone who's in essence a cocaine smuggler.
Right.
And he's like trying to use logic, like, wait a minute, is this regulatory, like what I'm trying to deal with this,
right,
person? No, this is available. I got this over the counter. And he's using like simple logic.
Right.
And he's like, this is the same thing Walter put in his coffee every day.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's that sort, again, you'll see the Easter eggs.
Right.
Or the Easter eggs will come into play more and more.
I see.
To kind of move on from that, creators of The Walking Dead, I'm sure you saw this, sue AMC for close to $1 billion due to not profit sharing. Obviously, they have...
I saw something.
Basically, from what I've been hearing, is that they have in their contracts, like Robert Kirkman has, like, hey, for all the toys and the merchandising, we are supposed to get X amount of money off of that.
Right.
Apparently, due to internal bookkeeping, yes, I'm using air quotes in an audio podcast, but they're not one, even though the people that handle the products,
right,
the merchandising is still part of AMC, they were, I guess, told by AMC, don't tell us what exactly, how much is everything is making.
Right.
That way we, you know...
Plausible deniability.
Plausible deniability.
That's exactly what
That, you know, it's just one of those type of shit shows that, hey, somebody found out,
right,
that they're making way more money, AMC is making way more money than what they're telling all the showrunners and the creators and the producers.
Right.
And that's how it's like, wait a minute, that's our money. The fuck?
Right.
You're not giving us the money that should be making.
Absolutely.
What was also funny is that not even a week later, Bill Nye comes out of the woodwork and starts to sue Disney for similar issues over The Science Guy.
Oh, no.
And there's, from what I read in the article, is just that the last payment that Disney made to Bill Nye was a couple years ago,
mm-hmm,
for $500,000, and Disney was pretty much like, no, you actually owe us money over certain things. It didn't go into real too much detail, but it was just like, Bill Nye, it seemed like overall Bill Nye was going like, hey, shit's going down with AMC, maybe I could get in this.
Yeah, right, and he stirred the pot and got
right.
Stirred.
Not cool. Not to mention,
we called this, I'm going to say this, we kind of called this a few months ago.
Oh, we're good at that.
I don't mean with the Bill Nye shit.
I'm just saying, this wouldn't be the first time.
That odd shit has happened.
Mm-hmm.
What we're about to mention is that news came out recently that Wizard Magazine is returning.
Bang! Bang!
Which is odd. It's like we kind of called that they should, you know, kind of like the magazine should come back.
It should. I said somebody's listening to it. I think I forwarded that to you when I saw the article. I was like, somebody's listening.
I think the first instance is like when we were talking about the whole social justice Marvel thing.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden,
God, that's gotten so much worse.
What's his name came out and did the same word, almost the same wording, but better.
Yeah, Ben Shapiro.
Ben Shapiro. I was like, oh motherfucker, who the fuck's listening to our show? Apparently, it's getting more listens than Podbean selling us.
Yeah, right.
fuck,
we are ahead of things. We are ahead of the curve.
Just that it's. I want to see if they do some sort of like a price list. It'd be nice to see a price list.
It'd be nice to see, like they said, they're going to do it quarterly.
Quarterly,
which is awesome. I think that's more appropriate. If they don't, I don't want them to do news. They don't have. There's no reason for them to do news. If they do good articles on ideas in comics, if they do interviews, if they do things that pertain to comics, the industry, and not comics like right now. They'll be fine.
These are hot people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Drawing contests. Like
a little bit of decent price list in the back.
Yeah,
you know,
and a really neat. Yeah.
It doesn't have to be a tight, high end price list.
Like the top, like, 100 books.
Right.
Even.
Just, I'm not talking 10 pages front and back, or i.e., 5 pages total. I'm talking at least 10, 15.
Like it used to be.
Like it used to be. Mainstream, some of the indie stuff, like, let's say, Walking Dead, and even though it's Superman, Batman, so forth.
That's what I'm saying. Like the top 100 ever. Or at least the ones that are, like, hot. The ones that are, the prices are changing.
Right.
There's no reason, and that's part of the reason why they stopped doing it, to keep publishing books that Overstreet takes care of. So Overstreet takes care of books as a whole. So, like, where the Overstreet 2017 price guide has every book in it from every unknown publisher, past to present, and the prices for each book laid out. That's fine for Overstreet.
Yeah, Overstreet is, for the folks at home, very standard. But for the common person, it could be very confusing.
Well,
that's why there's usually a lot of other price guides that are out there that I've enjoyed that are
they're more mainstream.
Where Overstreet might say Batman 400 is $15. Some of the ones I like that are a little bit more detailed,
right,
or a little bit more gun for the average person will say $10. So that way it gives a range.
Here's the problem with Overstreet. They have their system of good to excellent.
Right.
So you have to know how to grade comics in order to figure out what your book is worth.
Right.
And they're very meticulous. The only thing is, if you know how to read that guide, it's in the back. If you actually sit there and you take 20 minutes and you read that guide that tells about browning, it tells about, like, corners, and it tells about, like, gloss, it tells about, like, staples and centering and all kinds of, you know, all that kind of stuff. If you have any sense of collectability, if you've ever done this before, you'll get it. And you'll be like, okay, I can grade my own comics now. It's fairly simple. I get that where, for the more common person, it sucks. Because if you're out somewhere and you're like, oh, whoa, you can't really do that with a book. I like where Wizard used to be. It just gave, like, a low and a high. Like, in the absolute worst condition, you will get this much. In the absolute best condition, you will get this much. And you can look at it and go, it's about fair to middling.
And the thing is, what Wizard would do is that they kind of stopped doing it.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know if Overstreet does it. They'll give, like, let's say artist Alex Ross.
Right.
They'll say, all right, it's drawn, it'll have, like, written by
let's say use writer J. Michael Straczynski,
yeah.
And drawn by Alex Ross. It'll have JMS,
right.
AS. And Wizard had a little table saying, okay, you can look up AS.
Yeah.
And it says Alex Ross, or AR.
Yeah.
Alex Ross. And you look up JMS, J. Michael Straczynski. Yet you had some price guides. I'm not saying Overstreet did this.
Yeah.
It didn't have. It would have the initials, but it didn't have a table of
right.
you know who did it. Yet you're looking. You could have five covers,
yeah,
or five people drawing issues, and it's like I can't find. I don't know right. who this is.
Yeah.
Yet you're trying to place what kind of book it is, what year yeah. it is, and it get. That's where the confusion kind of.
Overstreet does it typically, but only for key issues. Usually, like if it's it. Like if there are issues that don't tie into like that key issue mentality, especially older books, they'll say like 81 through like 94, and then sometimes they'll put were written by this person. But if they're a bunch of different artists, then they don't even mention them. But if it's all the same writer, if it's all the same artist for a long stretch, they'll say the who it was.
Yeah.
But no, if they came out with one, it was just and if it was just the books that are moving, typically like say like you have a like I have a Batman 666 first appearance of. His son as Batman, Damian Wayne
yeah.
as Batman. I saw that book go from like $15 to like $20 in the last couple of months for some reason. If they have that, if they show that where remember the little arrow is
yeah.
Up from
yeah,
and it, like, remember they highlight them if they're hot
right.
I like that. I thought yeah. that was cool. So if they go back to that method, I'll be happy. And just real good artwork throughout. Like still like maybe do a poster in there. Or maybe some freebies, like cards or something.
Some,
dude, that's the thing they could do. Have a good card section. Nobody does that anymore.
Or what have you.
And cards like are hot, man. People are collecting the Marvel cards again. Yeah. If you go on, was it Upper Deck Online, like their EPAC site, you can buy them online and keep them there. And then if you choose, you can have them shipped to you. But you can keep them online and trade them. And they have a new set that came out with Marvel. Forget what it was, but I got a pack maybe 2 weeks ago. It was like $10, but you could. I got an autograph in there. It was from an artist. It was a sketch card.
I think you were telling me about this.
It was a sketch card or something, and I was able to trade it to somebody else. Now, no, I did get that. I won that one of one.
Yeah.
Which was that sketch by that dude. I didn't like it.
And everybody was fighting you over or some shit like that?
Dude, when I got that, they didn't know who the artist was. So it was like, it was a one-on-one. I should have took the offers because I offered a Wayne Gretzky, like, a nice Wayne Gretzky card for it. and I should have took it. But when I got it, I was so disappointed because it looked like Captain America throwing his shield at a cat. I was like... This is dumb. Because that's what it said, original piece of Marvel art. And it was it sent me an 8x10. The thing was original. But it's just the artist, like, I don't know what he was thinking when he did it. Like, it looks stupid. he was a decent artist. It just, that was the dumbest picture I've ever seen on Captain America in my life.
And by the time we get back from Four State, we'll reiterate the panels that were. That will be at 4-8 in a little bit.
Yeah.
But the week that this episode gets dropped, Destiny 2 will be dropped, officially dropped. I have my digital.
Is this next week's show or is
This is next week's.
Oh, good.
Because
well, then
we the should... end of the week will be at 4-8.
Yeah, we got to push 4-8 pretty hard.
Destiny 2 will be out, and like most games that come out that are popular, they have kind of the to use an old, kind of an old school or modern reference, they do the Mountain Dew and Doritos type of deal,
yeah.
Which means one company will do X and another company will do Y.
Right.
In this case, Destiny 2 are, in essence, Activision and you know whoever Bungie, I think it is, mm-hmm. Has gone out with two companies, Kellogg's and Rockstar.
Rockstar Energy.
In reference to Rockstar energy drinks,
Energy crack. Thank you.
They're doing pop top codes,
right?
Which I don't know if it's inside the can that you guys shine a light in, or actually underneath the tab.
Yeah.
But the pull tab. The code is for in game items. No one really knows what if it's weapons or if it's clothing, armor, or something like that, or what they call shaders.
Right.
That's one thing. It you could get 10 cans for a dollar, not for a dollar, 10 cans for 10 bucks at like Martin's or someplace like that,
yeah,
depending on which store is near you, which is all right, and it's limited to, you could redeem 3 codes per week up until like March.
Oh, wow.
So that's decent.
Yeah, that's decent.
I have like 3 cans at the house, though. And it's starting September 1st.
That's not bad.
But the whole Pop-Tarts thing, now here's where it's, well, something like Rockstar and Mountain Dew and even Doritos, you got a code like inside the bag. Now, you all you have to do is go to a website. Oh, I got a bag of, yep, you know, Doritos. Type it in,
yep,
because the code was inside the bag.
Right.
Pop-Tarts. Here's the fucked up thing.
Oh, Lord.
What Kellogg's has done is that once you buy a box of Pop-Tarts, now, well, I'm a cheap bastard. What I do is like, hey, you drink Rockstar? Yes. Can I have the tab so I can use the code? Do you play Destiny 2? No. Can I have the tab, you know, the code?
Yeah.
And I'll enter in the code. I did that with Mountain Dew. Right. I knew everybody who drank Mountain Dew when Halo 4 came out.
Right.
I had a shit ton of, like, caps from Mountain Dew, and all I did was type in the codes.
Right.
Because everybody I knew drank Mountain Dew but didn't play Halo.
Right.
And that's easy. Kellogg's, you buy the box. There's no code in the box. You have to snap a photo of the UPC and the receipt. Text it to the number that Kellogg has provided, and they will text you back a code to enter in their website.
Oh, my gosh.
Talk about a fucking hassle.
No shit.
Oh, yeah, it's like, can't you just take the extra 5 minutes?
And what are you getting for this?
Double XP.
Okay. Was that great? Is that good?
Well, to level up your character and get better, you know, sometimes better quality items, you need to be a higher...
Is it worth it?
No.
Okay.
No, it's easier. Let me put it like this. Hey, Kellogg, if you're listening, it would be easier if you printed the goddamn code in the box, kind of like what Doritos would have done.
Yeah, would it kill you?
Guess what? All Rockstar did was put the code underneath the fucking tab. All
right. So I guess I'm not buying Pop-Tarts for that.
So.
No. I know there's a lot of titles that are supposed to be coming out soon for Xbox. Hello Neighbor for my son. And, of course, I want to get Battle.
That was the cutest part of the...
him talking to you?
I had that's the only part I had to edit was, like, boosting him a little bit.
Yeah. He's so funny. If you get him started talking about games, he'll talk about it all day. Right now, he's playing a lot of Roblox. But, yeah, I want to get that, and I want to get Battlegrounds for me. They had that $350,000 Battlegrounds tournament last weekend. I was watching Julie play from One Shot Girl.
But the only place you can probably find an Xbox One right now, like the one I have, is through like a pawn shop like a retro game shop that kind of has a decent one.
Yeah.
Because as of from what I found out, Microsoft is no longer issuing the original Xbox Ones.
Right.
Because of the Xbox One S and the Xbox Scorpio.
Yeah.
So
what's the Scorpio?
It's a little bit smaller.
Right.
But it's not. It might not be as powerful. It's a slight. It's like an in between box between the Xbox One and the Xbox.
What's new the one. Price on the Xbox One X when it comes out?
That's the new one that's coming out. I think in November is going to be like $500. So just basically, since all the games are going to be playable on, like, I can in November or when is it coming out next year? When Red Dead Redemption 2 comes out next year.
Right.
I could go out, pick up that game, pop it into my system, and get it.
Right.
And it'll play. Right. You don't really need a brand new system. It'll have a patch to run on the new system.
What's the big deal with the... I mean, are they coming out with their own games eventually? Is it kind of like a PlayStation 3 versus PlayStation 4 deal? Or
not really. It's... mid-range...
more powerful?
Just slightly more powerful.
Okay.
And better... It's able to do... Ultra HD stuff.
Who cares? I don't have an Ultra HD TV.
So you don't. You just get the regular. They're going to be able to play on all three.
So in other words, I just go find one at a used place. Screw it. Yeah, that's what I'll do. Because I want to get one. I want to get one really bad, but I just haven't. I haven't done it yet. Ever since my three went out, I'm like me.
I'm so happy to be a gamer.
I was like, oh, I'm a gamer again. I died.
And it dies. To kind of continue up, next up, reference to, I don't know if you saw SummerSlam or not, but
I did not.
Apparently what came out was at the center that Raw and SummerSlam was going to be taking place at. What the people, the idiots did at the center was, you know how the convention center, or she kind of used hype up four state Comic Con,
right?
Like what the Hagerstown Hall will do is, hey, we're going to be having a four state convention September 9th.
Oh, I heard about this.
Basically, what the center said was, hey, we're having SummerSlam, come see the new champion. Yep. And they pretty much spoiled the main event,
twice. Twice.
Or SummerSlam. Then they wanted to tweet us like, also, don't forget to pick up your ticket for Raw, Monday Night Raw, which we're going to be having. And come see John Cena.
Yeah.
And John Cena was nowhere going to be reported being at that episode, which means, it's like, really? You're spoiling both main events with both things? Can't you just shut up?
No.
Really? The wrestler fans know it's kind of staged, but you're supposed to kind of keep it on the down low.
Yeah.
You got to be like, hush, shush. Like, you didn't have to say too much, man. You're going, hush, man. Yeah, fuck it.
Brock Lesnar kept his belt.
Come see the winner, main event. It didn't happen yet.
Yeah, right? Well, he did because he's not going back to the UFC to fight Jon Jones because Jon Jones took drugs again.
Wait a minute. So did...
you dumbass.
Well, didn't he, Brock Lesnar, do too?
Yeah, and he's suspended anyway. He'd have like 4 months to get clear through USADA anyway. But
that's beside the
point. Fucking double dumbass. Oh, my God.
God.
I can't believe Jon Jones.
I did get a chance to see, before we go into Mayweather and McGregor,
right.
I did get a chance to see Death Note. It was pretty good.
Yeah, I thought it was good. I need to watch it. I haven't watched it, but I thought, from the looks of the
commercial. It was, what's his name? Did a very good job as the demon.
Right.
Yeah, they took some liberties with it, but it seemed, the way they had it written,
right,
seemed like it was something, it was like kind of a continuation of the story, which means where, how they had it set up, it was like you had this original anime thing, from what I was told, there was two live action movies after that.
Right.
And this, the way they had it kind of written, the mentality I get, or at least what I got out of it, was that this takes place after, even though it was the same, supposed to be taking place in reference to the original anime, it looks like it takes place someplace after all those storylines were done.
Right.
Kind of like saying, this is kind of way, explain, this is why everybody here looks American, this is why everybody's this and that.
Right.
It's the same type of characters, but it's like taking place like somewhere else. And it's its own separate storyline, right, than all this.
See, that's what they need to do because...
But you have all the
fans will cry.
You had all the fans going, ow, my ass, ow, my ass, ow, my ass, ow, my ass.
Shut up. The anime fans say, ow, my ass. The comic book fans say, ow, my childhood. That's like, would you all stop?
Or I should say the anime goes, ow, the tentacle, ow, the tentacle. We don't have anime fans listen to us.
So fuck them.
Ow, the tentacle. Ow, the tentacle. Ow, the tentacle. Wrong hole. Wrong hole. But hopefully we'll get... I just got word a couple of days ago that Andy, he was on like earlier this year, last year, something like that, mm-hmm, talking about anime, and he knows a little bit about Emmett. MMA. He wants to come back on and talk about wrestling and anime again. So we'll get him on again and work things out and talk about anime and what his thoughts in reference to some of the, like, Ghost in the Shell and Death Note. See what his takes on his viewpoints about that and some of the wrestling stuff. Now, before we close up, because we're trying to rush things, yet because our time today is very, very short.
Very limited.
Again, but we thank the Daily Grind for allowing us and fitting us into our crazy schedule. We had before going to our last topic, I had been having a lot of schedule changes at work, reduced schedule, increased hours, and changing a schedule. And I do thank Big Candy for coming today and recording our host. Well, it works out better in the long run.
My schedule doesn't change.
But we had this past weekend, as of this recording, we had the Mayweather-McGregor fight, which was, in essence, known as boxing versus the MMA. Yeah. McGregor will not go past four rounds.
He will not land a punch.
And turns out it was a good 10 rounds.
Did you watch it?
No.
It fell off the back of a truck and I watched it.
Uncle Tony.
I wasn't going to watch it. I was going to just watch the results, but I was on Platinum Card Breakers watching them break sports cards, and one of the guys in the chat was like, "Hey, it's on here," and like provide the link, and was like, "I'm not going to click that click." And and so it was on there. I think a lot of people did that because from what I hear, like we're saying, like it got blown out. The servers got blown out in California.
It was like a billion dollar event.
Yeah, it was $99.
Mayweather got like $180 million for hit. He won. Spoilers, he won.
Yeah.
And McGregor got
like 100.
No, he got. I was hearing like 75.
Well, with all the endorsements, it was like over 100.
But fight wise, it was
fight
like,
wise. Yeah,
we're like, talking fight wise money.
those two made so much money.
Fight wise, fight money or purse money, if you want to call it that.
Yeah.
Mayweather got $175 million, and McGregor got 75. But I'm sure there was way more than that after endorsements and all.
Yeah.
The
breakdown of the whole thing, to be honest, it was a good fight.
As far as I want to talk a few people in reference to it, I got to contact him again because things kind of fell through. Life happened with him.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was on our show a couple of months ago, Reverend Jay Leal from Scott
right.
Cruz said, I was on your show. You got to be on mine now. So we kind of worked out a deal, and he kind of forgot about it. I'm not knocking him. He's got a baby boy.
Right.
And he said he was spending a lot. He completely forgot, and because he was playing with his baby boy, who is named Bane, by the way.
Bane.
Bane.
Oh, wow.
As the Batman's backbreaker.
I was like, Bane. That's funny. But no, Bane, that's cool.
So I'm not blaming for that, but I do want to get with him to reschedule, you know, in reference to hopefully with me covering Otacon and. After our panel, I'll try to get in touch, like bug him in reference. When do you want? I want to be on. He's a nice guy.
Yeah.
But with the fight, to have McGregor last 10 rounds is pretty damn good.
Well,
I want to say that.
The funny part was is I think Mayweather. Everybody thought Mayweather was kind of underestimating him, and. I think he actually knew who he was going up against because that's how he, according to him, that's how they planned the fight. They wanted him to throw his big punches and kind of wear himself out so he'd gas himself out in the first couple rounds.
Kind of like how Ali did with like a rope-a-dope, just wear him out.
Yeah, so he wore himself out. And I could see him doing it too. Like when I was watching, I was like, he's wearing him out because He started. You could see Mayweather getting more and more aggressive as the rounds went on, and when he thought he had him, you could tell he started doing things that were unlike Mayweather. He was going after him, which he never does that. So it was strange to see that. I don't like Mayweather at all. On a personal note, as a boxer, I can respect his skill, and 15-0 is something to be proud of. To go out on that note versus. Somebody with that particular skill set, McGregor did a really fine job.
But
he, as a boxer, he's still like got a lot to learn because he started throwing hammer fists at one point when Mayweather had his head down. He started doing over. he you know, hammer fist.
Doing like what the UFC would do.
Yeah, like if he was down and started beating on him like that, and the ref had to be like, no, 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 no. And everybody's like, no, stop. You're gonna get points deducted because he was ahead at one point. He had the first three rounds.
Have you heard what I was hearing today?
What's that?
The fight. Yeah, boxing. That it was fixed.
I've heard a lot of that.
The fact that so much from what I was reading, it was that Mayweather, McGregor was pulling punches.
They said that.
That
I don't know.
The fact that from the footage that I was seeing along with the commentary, it was that, he's just making it look like he's hitting.
No.
That McGregor could actually hit harder than that, and all he's doing is just making it look like he's hitting Mayweather.
No, I like for watching.
And they also said
watching
in the
fight,
round,
you'd have to watch the fight.
And he said in the tenth, and they also were saying, yeah, even the ref was in on it because the ref should not have called that TKO.
A lot of people say that. I tend to agree with that because McGregor was in trouble, yes, but he had not been knocked down. So usually, if they call a TKO, it's because somebody is out on their feet and they can't.
They're stumbling more often,
right? And they can't defend themselves. Same thing with MMA. If you're on the ground, you're covered up, and you're not throwing punches, they're going to call the fight. McGregor can take a lot more than what Floyd Mayweather was handing to him. I'll give you that. I'll say that, yeah, that was a little sketchy. The TKO came a little early. I don't think either guy minded, though, because they both got a hell of a payday out of it. It was an entertaining fight.
And it wasn't, like, again, four rounds?
Right.
Or three rounds?
Yeah, and it was, like I said, it was entertaining for what it was. Whether it was fixed or not, I have no idea. I have no stake in the game. I don't really care. I watched it for fucking free. I don't give a shit. Whatever. Yes, I would agree that TKO was a little strange. But other than that, I don't know.
And because we still have some time,
promote the shit out of this weekend.
Yeah, Saturday, this September 9th and 10th, Saturday and Sunday at the Hagerstown Hall in Hagerstown, Maryland. Exit 6A off of I-81.
Yep.
Is going to be the 4-State Comic-Con The Reboot.
Reboot.
And there's going to be a whole mess of guests. Mark McKenna, Carla Perez, a whole mess of people. Kurt Wagner,
yep,
who was a guest on our show.
Yep.
Please go back in our archives and listen,
yep,
to that interview. Loads of people. Cosplay. There's going to be a couple of mainstream cosplayers.
And dealers.
There. Dealers.
A huge dealer room.
Over 90, close to 90 dealers, if,
yeah,
not more dealers going to be there. So
bring your money.
Bring your money. Bring your money.
Because I'll be there. Horror Geek will be there.
So you're going to have a lot of people there, a lot of vendors, a decent amount of celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
So there's going to be somebody for everybody. There's Walking Dead celebrities. There's going to be the one person, I forgot his name, he's from Arrow. He was also on SG Stargate Atlantis.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to get an interview with him.
Awesome.
So, not to mention I have that
Demolition.
Big Arrow. Not to mention I have that big Arrow promo
poster. Yeah,
signed.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to get that signed by them.
Demolition.
Demolition.
They're going to be
Nikolai, was it Volkov?
Volkov.
Is going to be there. But Matt Burns, this past week, as of this recording, dropped the panel list.
Oh, they dropped the panel list.
So these are the panels that are going to be happening this Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah.
On Saturday, since last episode, I've been fucking up on this word because of fuck you, Matt Burns. Matt Burns, in a non-gay way, I love you, but fuck you, you fucking fuck. I know Matt's going to probably be laughing his ass off. The cause positivity, I got it right! Yay! The cause positivity panel
hosted by cosplayers Katie Ko, Lady J, and Sharon Rose. I guess it's about, there's no real description about it, but I guess it's about being positive while you cosplay.
That's good.
So that's always good. It's not going to be more cosplay oriented in reference to how to do outfits. It's
right.
Being happy with yourself and so forth and so cool. on. I think it might be Sharon, if not Lady J, if not Sharon Rose. She's more of a bigger cosplayer. I mean, she's a little bit chubby.
Yeah.
So I'm not. That's why I'm saying if one of those three is a little bit more on the larger set and being more
that's
positive.
Cool.
Yeah. So I'm not knocking any one of these cosplayers whatsoever. I'm not you know body shaming at all. That's at 1 p.m. At 2 p.m. it's the Making Comics 101 panel, and the description that Matt wrote down is some helpful insights to up-and-coming comic book artists as told by Marvel alumni Mark McKenna and Ron Wilson. And it's hosted by Victims and Villains podcast host John Berkeley. Josh Berkeley.
Right.
Josh was on our show again earlier this year. He's a decent guy, great guy.
Yeah.
He runs a great, positive podcast called, again, Victims and Villains, which promotes anti-suicide awareness.
Yeah.
So that's good. And this should be a very interesting panel.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention Mark McKenna and Ron Wilson are very great artists and very friendly artists.
I'm going to be Ron Wilson.
Then it's the 3 p.m. At 3 p.m., it's our panel.
Yeah.
Our fucking panel. It's the panel is titled Red versus Rita. It's a Power Rangers panel with Carla Perez, who played Rita Repulsa, one of the original Rita Repulsa.
Right.
Because when you go to IMDb, there's like a different name there. So I have questions, and there was like five different Ritas being played during that era. So I have questions. It'll be interesting to ask a few questions. And not to mention, we interviewed Axelrod.
Right.
Way back then. Yeah. Now you get to see if she actually voiced the character or played the character. A whole mess of questions for her. Not to mention one of the OG Red Rangers, Steve Cardenas. Or Cardenas. I have to get his proper pronunciation of his last name.
Yeah.
He was the second Red Ranger ever.
Okay.
After, when they kind of were going into Turbo, he appeared in the very first Power Rangers movie.
Okay.
And the second Power Rangers movie.
Because the first one was that guy that, I remember he was working at a Don Pablo's in Sterling, Virginia, and everybody was like, Red Ranger! And he was like, God damn it.
I think Steve does, David Frank has a few, dojos around the country.
So
it'll be interesting to questions, see what they're up to now and so forth and so on. And plus their take on the new Power Rangers movies that was just out.
Yeah.
At 4 p.m. that Saturday is the comic trivia panel. And the description that Matt writes is, get your teams together and play for prizes as Lady J Cosplay hosts trivia, comic, and nerd culture style. At 5 p.m. that Saturday is the cosplay contest. And after that is, it's cosplay contest. There's no real description needed.
Yeah.
If you need a description, it's a contest. Wear cosplay outfits. That's all you need to know.
If it's as good as everybody dressed up last year in Waynesboro, it'll be good.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was surprised at the outfits that came out from Waynesboro.
And after that, it says post-cosplay contest, the art of movie special effects, hosted by Kent Wagner and Donnie Drum. Well, I think that's going to be them putting up the makeup on Kent, so that should be funny and interesting.
Yeah.
Now, Sunday, in Hagerstown, Maryland, at the Hagerstown Hall. The 1 p.m. panel is a cosplay panel. I think that there's no real description for it. Matt has a TBA for it, to be announced. The host is supposed to be with Matt Downs and more. I guess it's actually about making cosplay and props and all that. At 2 p.m. is the Walking Dead Talk Dead panel with Captain Kyle Williamson as he hosts, who will host that panel as they talk past, present, and future Walking Dead with Ann Mahoney and Peter Zimmerman and Kent Wagner, who are all on Walking Dead. I met Captain Kyle at both the first Four State Comic Con and the Winter Wonderland show. His, I think that was his daughter in the Superman bouncy. But Captain Kyle and his daughter are nice people. They have a YouTube channel. Check out their YouTube channel to search for Captain Kyle. You'll come up.
Bouncy.
At 3 p.m. is the No Holds Barred panel. It's a wrestling panel with all three time greats, which is the tag team known as Demolition.
Here comes the X. Here comes the Smasher.
And the other person on that panel is Nikolai Volkoff.
Yep.
It's hosted by Comics World podcast host and wrestling guru Brandon Myers. Well, if he's going to be there and he has a booth set up, we'll exchange information. Maybe we'll have like a crossover event.
Yeah.
And that seems to be it for the panels at Four States. Tickets are going to be, I think Matt said, between $10 to $15.
Yeah. So that's cheap. That's cheap. The whole weekend.
And the, yeah.
I mean, so you can't get comic book convention tickets for $15 for the entire weekend.
For a weekend.
And
for
all that entertainment. And it's funny because the actors and actresses don't charge a lot either.
No.
Pete, I know my wife knows Peter Zimmerman from Walking Dead. He's like, I think he's like $20 or $30 to get an autographed picture with.
So
that's nothing compared to like most people.
And you're going to have 90 fucking vendors.
So that, bring your money.
So you're going to have vendors like myself that's going to be handing out flyers and pushing our show. Their shows, like I'm sure Josh from Victim and Villains, and
you'll have me Mike from
from the Comics World podcast.
Yep.
So you're going to have a few of us like that, and trying to network and get together. And you're going to have vendors like Geek Horror Geek, you know, just setting up and selling their wares.
Yep.
Support Horror Geek, and what suits your fancy. Not to mention, if you want, buy some of the prints from like Mark McKenna and Ron Wilson.
Yep.
Because they.
God, I hope I don't spend more money than I bring in.
And especially with Mark McKenna, he has the Power Rangers print exclusive.
Yeah. For 100.
To 100. I might have to pick one up.
Right.
For at the show, that's going to be
drawn specifically for the show.
So that's something.
Mm-hmm.
So didn't get a knock. Wow, there were supposed to be people after us, but I'm not going to risk it.
Yeah, we got a minute.
But
left, so
there's that. So come visit. Say hi.
Wrap it up.
Leaving. On a freight train.
Oh, I thought we were leaving on a jet plane.
Leaving on a jet plane. Don't know if we're coming back.
Yeah, you'll be back next week. You'll be all right.
See you next time on the Long Coat Mafia.